salam. Any questions related to the topic? Other than who is the person? I don't know. He came to Malaysia, they said. What is going to be caught? Malaysian government already caught. Now. Alaykum as-salam. No doubt. You are talking about the common ones, the common people. But the common people do not own Hollywood. Hollywood is owned by people who are planning. They know what they do. Yeah, of course. Huh? Tel Aviv? Yeah, the Yahud. Yeah, you mean the Yahud. That's what Rasulullah said. When he was asked, is it the Yahud? Do you mean the Yahud and Nasara? He said, then who? When I say, no. When I say the West, I don't mean that they are the only, but it is well known that the upper hand always followed. And today, when the Muslims were upper hand, he saw all the good characters and manners and Islam spreading all the way down. And who came to Islam by their own willing are more than those who came by force. No comparison. Yani, in the early days, Muslims may conquer a land which is for the kuffar, but they force no one to become Muslim. But most of those people became Muslim. Why? Because of what they see of Islam, which has been practiced. Now, the upper hand is for the Westerners. Western governments. I don't mean, when I say West, I don't mean the directions. I don't mean that. But where is the effect of China amongst the world? It's not that powerful. It's not that powerful. Maybe politically, maybe they have veto. Economically, but again, economically, they are too big, and even their strength in economy only enough to be in their land. Well, it's not outside. We know that, who has big armies, who has big, media. The media, everything from the West. And when I say the West, I don't mean that every person in the West is bad. No. But none away from Muslims. Even the non-Muslims, not every one of them. Yeah. But the thing is, the Yahud corrupted the world, damaged the world. By what? By media. By media. And that's why they are planning. They put their money in Hollywood, and they planned it long ago to destroy. And now on the internet. They are also after it. They are also after it. Paying and paying and paying, encouraging people to just get to it because of the corruption. Allah musta'an. Now,
mentioned obviously that a lot of our youth now is going. I personally, that's my point of view.
A lot of youth what?
A lot of youth are being misguided. And
no, I did not say a lot. I said some.
Well, okay, let's use the word some. Some of the youth are being misguided and things. I personally, from my point of view, I feel the misguidance because the Muslims want it for themselves as well. Simply, if I give an example, opening the door for Muslims to go abroad and study, I think this is the consequence as well of that.
Fine.
Rather than to say, okay, I've got the resources, I need to bring the people to my own country and teach them and bring the right people as well. Because even when bringing people here, it's happening as well, you find some people are corrupting. Because their mind is already corrupted and that are corrupting the student in some ways. So I feel this is itself is got to be resolved, to be looked at and say, there are a lot of bad consequences is happening here, so I need to review myself. Because there are a lot of people are going there and they're coming with ideas. And anyone, if you ask anyone who's in the field of education, university, institutes, whatever, they can tell you what's going on there. But how many of us actually can influence those youth by telling them, returning them a little bit to the religion? Even you can see sometimes when you speak about the religion, some youth they like it, but some others they look at you, it's like, you know, you're talking nonsense. You know, we don't want to hear this. We just, because they've been affected, as you mentioned in the hadith, because quite few number of Muslims, they are blind following to the West, to the kuffar ways, because they think this is the best way somehow. Allah, I mean, this is a
that's true. I did not deny that. I agree with it, but it is not necessarily that going there studying. Today the world is like one town, one village. What is there, you can see it here next to the Kaaba, the TV channel and the internet and everything close to everyone, anyone. That's a problem. Now, this is what Rasulullah ﷺ said, وَيْلٌ لِلْعَرَبِ مِنْ شَرٍ قَدْ اَقْتَرَبَ. Woe to the Arabs from an evil that is close to them. This evil is widely seen now, clearly seen. The internet and TV channels. Maybe you are good in yourself, maybe you try to do good to your family, but by bringing these things to your house, what are they going to learn? Who has the control over that? Look to the cartoons. How many intended corruption of aqidah in it? You know what? And a few days ago I was sitting with the children, watching some of these cartoons. In the cartoon, they saying, oh, don't worry, we'll have some of this blue small creation to help us fighting the upper world. What does that mean? You know? And a lot of things. The problem is, yeah, we cannot have the control today, honestly. It's not a matter of government, not a matter. No government can say, no internet, no television, no media in our land. It's impossible today. It is impossible. People can have now TV channel from their own home, from the house. Easy and cheap now. But it is now how to be a good father. It is to stick to your family much more. Be with them. If all the time, then all the time, if it is possible. If not possible all the time, then as much as you can. And not only because, I don't have TV in my house. I don't allow them to get access to internet. Your child goes to school. And in the school, he gains 1/10 of goodness and 9/10 of evil. From the classmates, from the teachers. Honestly, that's the fact. Yes, they educate them how to read, how to write. But honestly, there is a big damage in the matter of religion and character. Big damage. This is the problem. In the old days, people used to send their children to the mosque. No damage. In the mosque is everything nice and fine. Unfortunately, that's what I said. It's an imitating as Rasulullah Sallam said. Now show me how many circles in the masajid. Is it because we don't have masajid? Is it because we don't have teachers in masajid? No, we have. But rarely you see people come to or bring their children to the masajid. But they rather take them to the school. Because school is very important. Yet still in Bangladesh, Pakistan and India they have what they call madrasa, and they have a school. The father doesn't want to take his son to madrasa because this is Islamic, and he wants his son to be an engineer, to be aware of Islam. What is that? How can he eat? Important is to eat. That's the most important thing, to eat, not to pray, not to worship. So that's why they take their children to school. A number of a school now, no comparison between number of madrasa and number of school in those countries. Why? Because they think that school only bring him as and it's someone foolish. Someone do not know nothing about world. Someone, like that. Okay, in the evening. In the evening, take your child to the masjid to sit to Quran, circle and learn. Oh, in the evening, he needs to go to the youth center to build up his body. Build up his body for what? For what? For what you build up his body? For Jahannam? If you build up his body for worshipping Allah, then first teach him how to worship Allah. Leaving him like that, then the child become like this. As I said, I saw on the YouTube a father crying, begging the king to arrest his son, who declared that he's a liberal and he's against Islam. His own son. So the man is crying. So we need to do something. We need to do something as fathers. A liberal. What do you call that? Liberal. Liberal?
Liberal.
Liberal.
Obviously, as a Muslim, our priority should be always Islam first before sat in, people went more or less to the worldly life rather than concentrating on Islam. That's one. I have to say, first of all, when we look, for instance, at schools, because most of the time that is spent is actually in schools, all the time for the kids, I see even the people who were chosen for that particular task or responsibility in the school, they are not the right people. That's why it's been corrupted, because you will find some teachers, you ask, how on earth this teacher actually got to that position to be a teacher and to teach the children? Because somebody has put him there. Meaning that person who put him there, he wasn't really the appropriate person to choose the person. So the selection process is actually happening to be wrong in the first place. That's why we don't have it. In the other hand, I have to say, to a small percentage, that the brothers who are practicing, who are upon the correct manhaj and aqidah and so on, some of us are not doing the job as it should be. Because sometimes, I mean, I got many times some quiet students who will say, Allah, I used to hate English. And you say, why? And say, well, I had a teacher who made me hate the things. SubhanAllah, sadly now, the concept or the image, when a student walks for the first time into a class and he sees a mutawwa, it's like already a barrier. Without even speaking to the person, is already a barrier. Now, we, as brothers who are practicing, we should be aware of that and how to win that student, rather than to make it too much extreme, is to try to understand, what does the student like? What does he love? And then from that angle, try to basically feed him, slowly, slowly, the good things to get him back. Because by telling him straight away from the beginning, we're just going to create that barrier between us, and there will be no communication. He's got his own mind, he's going to think, I'm not going to change him. And for me, I've got my own mind, and that's it. But we know the truth, they don't know the truth. So we need to break that barrier slowly, slowly, in order to win them first, and then to do something. And that's what's happening at the moment. If you look at many institutions, you find this, you find the teacher is not doing, they're not aware of things. Sometimes our own children, they'll come and they say, we watch a cartoon, or we watch something about the alphabet or something, which had music, for instance. Now, before you send your kid to school, music to them, it was a big issue. Now they got used to it. They don't deny it. Their hearts, that's it. It's like to them to hear music, it becomes something which is fine. As he said, through the TV, through the cartoons, how many cartoons without music? That's regardless like the aqidah and the things of shirk and so many things. And these things, basically, they are there. And as you said, it's very hard for any government to stop this. But they can work on it, leave it, because I remember when I came to Saudi Arabia, a phone with a camera, that was a big issue. Now, people will pay anything to have that phone and camera and to hide it. But that's not the solution. The solution, let that person have it, but try to work out or study, how can I stop the evil of that? Let him have it, because if I say I stop it, he's going to have it, and that would be a big issue, no matter how you're going to stop him. But to let him use it, but no, control it, have the use of it. That is the issue where we should really concentrate. The same thing, as I mentioned, in universities. Yes, I agree, the Muslims should really raise their education to a level to come quite good, so we don't need anything from the non-Muslims. But I don't have to send my kids. I mean, I see brothers who came to Saudi Arabia thinking, obviously they came, inshallah, with the thinking of hijrah and to stay in this country and things. And then after a while, they go back. Why? Because their thinking is all about qualifications, jobs, and all these things. Why I'm thinking like this? Why am I not thinking, no, this is the best country. Okay, I don't have the best of the world in this country. I have to manage it somehow. I don't have to go back. I don't have to send my kids to Kufar land to acquire these things. I need to look into other doors. Allahu alam. I mean, these are...
I never disagree with that. That's correct. But I mean to say that I have to be logic. I'm an imam of a masjid. I'm a khatib. I'm not a ruler. Right? And my speech only reaches the ears of people who attend in my masjid. and none of them is in the position of responsibility to change the situation or to do something. But they are all fathers. So I have to guide fathers to what can minimize the harm. And it is, and also to describe for them the problem, where it is, in regard to parents. And that's why I brought the ayat of parents. The problem is, as the father is in his own world, the mother is in her own world, and the children are left facing all these really hurricanes and volcanoes and problem, disaster on the internet and on the TV channels. They are not in an age to distinguish between good and bad. Even if they are, they understand, you may say, oh, my son is clever. Yeah, he's clever. But he's not pious. He's not only clever, shaitan is clever. But he's not pious. That's why he did not choose the proper one when he was commanded to prostrate. This guy is clever. This guy who I brought his statements is very clever. But where is piety? It's not cleverness, rather it is piety. So, what I mean to say is, we have to spend much more time with our families. The problem, today's style of life, dismantled the family. We only meet on lunch. Or on a picnic weekend, that's it. Other than that, where is yani the Prophet ﷺ used to sit? Are we more busy than him? It's impossible. Bring me the most busiest man in this world, I can challenge you that he is not as busy as Rasulullah. President of America? Busy? What is he yani, what is his yani cares and awareness? America. Rasulullah ﷺ, the whole world. The whole world. The worries of Rasulullah ﷺ is to protect all this mankind from fire. That's not a worry of any president or anyone today. But we are trying to give excuses to ourselves, not to run the responsibility of parents properly. Because we also want to follow our own desires. That's a problem. That's a problem. What I mean to say is, later on, you will blame yourself. Oh, I wanted a son that when I die, he prays for me. Now I have a son that Allah is going to ask me about him. It's because of you. You did not work hard. But if you did your best and worked hard properly, Allah would not blame you for that. As Nuh alayhi salam, his son became kafir. What better he can do for him than that? But Allah Ta'ala decreed that this child become kafir. Wallahu a'lam.
No, leave it.
Wallahi, I'm leaving.
It's very important. Thank you.
Shall we read?
Well, Aina, where is your father?
In the car? طيب السيد قال أرسل لي رسالة يقول الدرس بيصير عنده أنت وهو شيء ريكولينج. طيب نقرأ إلى أن يأتي إن شاء الله. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, no. Go ahead. Who will give him? Your grandmother? Your mother?
Yes.
Your mother. Okay. It is okay to eat this cake because this cake is not not related to abortion, and it is not, unless if it has something itself haram like wine or something like that, and it is okay. And my advice to you is work on the child. Your mother gives him this, when you go back you talk to the child that this is not permissible, this. Make it to understand it. The other thing is, try not to go on the birthday. Not to visit them on that particular day. Yeah. But if cannot, then... Yeah. Yeah, no problem, but... It is difficult. May Allah Ta'ala.
It works eventually. Eventually, from experience, eventually with time, you will realize that, you know, I have the same thing.
Yeah, but it is not a matter of realizing, but it is, the problem is that they are feeling, you know, sad that you are not with them. That's for you have something. Not for you. Because there's no much time left. For that's and this, I don't know. Give me your vision.
It's still going to send me a survey because he said, as the chair mentioned, it's the first teaching paper which I mentioned, they don't believe in it because there's no, they like it. They like it because it's obviously a living life, it's also a couple life. But if it's the children understand it, at a certain sense, they will understand it. It's the fact that they will come to the parents.
It's to the email. I checked both emails. I didn't see it.
It was on the manifest, MD.
I checked on my iPhone. Maybe text time.
The question is, at the moment, there are so many issues regarding Syria, and we see and we hear so much problem in Syria. How do we understand? How do we take the information from the news, papers, and the internet? How can we act upon it within the correct manner? And what do we do when we hear from some du'ats inciting the faults of certain Muslim governments that they're not helping out, and the UN is coming in between, and the kuffar are aiding and the Muslims are keeping quiet? What do you say about all of these things?
I say that this is a kind of mixed between truth and and false. First of all, in regard to what's happening in the whole, most of the Arab countries, not only Syria but in all Arab countries, we say that it's a type of trial from Allah Ta'ala to see that these people, whether they go back to Allah or what? What they gonna do? Now, and they should go back to Allah Ta'ala. It is a fitna, it's a trial that we should ask Allah Ta'ala to bring the ummah out of it safely and peacefully. And protect us as well, not to get into that fitna. And the other thing which I advise with is to go back to the Quran and Sunnah and see what Allah Ta'ala guided us to do. See the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what he guided us to do whenever there are fitna like that. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you stay away from all the fitna. What we see today, that this fitna in all these Arab countries is not based on religion. People are not they are not revolting for religion. It's only based on dunya affairs. That's the whole thing. And these are the flags that they raise. And you hear them, for example, in Egypt, in Syria, and everywhere. No Salafiyya, no Masihiyya, no Christianity. But Masriya, Masriya, but Suriya, Suriya. And it means we don't care about religion, we care about citizenship. Which is wrong. And the other thing, the Muslim rulers did not, as the question say, that stay away from it and did not do nothing. No, they're doing. But what can they do? Is it necessary that they go and fight? That is the only way that they can do? No. It cannot be like that. Because the Syrians themselves do not want people, the Syrians, I mean the people, not the government, do not want outsiders to come and start a war in their land. Because it's already destroyed. But, as we see, for example, the Arab League, they are trying. There are a lot of pressure from the rulers, like here in Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and many others. They are putting a lot of pressure on them. And what we can do, honestly, to them, is to keep making dua. The problem is people do not find it enough. They say, okay, dua, dua. Is it, what is it? What's dua? We need something practical. Subhanallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Battle of Badr, where the Muslims were only 317, not equipped, not armed, facing 1,000 who are fully armed, fully equipped, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood all the time from beginning of the battle until it finished, raising his hands, asking Allah, asking Allah, up to the limit that his upper garment fall down, falling down. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq came and he was sorry for him. He said, Ya Rasulullah, yani Allah promised you, Allah will give you what He promised you. Yani, have some rest. But Rasulullah did not look to that. He kept raising his hand, making dua. The consequence of that, that Allah Ta'ala sent angels fighting with the believers, and the kuffar were killed, defeated. So we have to go back to Allah. We have to ask, yani call Allah. We have to pray. We have to yani ask Allah. It's not only just strikes in the streets, and you know, that's not correct. Not only they are following, yani they are following the others who they blame them of this corruption. They're doing the same thing, going out on revolutions and destroying, damaging this and that. This is not the way. The way is to yani go back to Allah, pray, ask Allah Ta'ala to change the situation. And they themselves need to change. How are they with Allah? How are they with Allah? That's a problem. Allah. No.
So you're saying it's incorrect to view this phenomenon that's happening like as a religious rationality, for example. I mean, I don't know, you know, I'm not as committed of this situation, but some people say that
صحيح. لا I don't I don't deny it. No, honest. لا I don't deny it. I don't deny that alhamdulillah there is yani a great goodness coming, but along with it a great evil came too. Evil much greater. Look to the situation in Iraq. During the time of Saddam, it was bad. And how it is today? It is even worse. It is even worse. Now, all these countries are saying that yani, where the revolutions were, like in Egypt or Tunisia, or they say that we don't want yani to say that Islam will rule. Anybody can rule. Muslim, Christian, whatsoever, liberal, whatsoever. You know what? It's dangerous. It's dangerous. And I believe it is something planned from outside. I believe that it is something planned from outside. These ones, if you see, if you go back to the history, these ones, especially the military rulers today, who brought them? Who were they? And who brought them? You know that when Gaddafi became president, he was only a small captain. When Saddam became president, he was only small. When Hafez al-Assad was, well, they were all small. How come they be presidents? Except that there is a plan behind. And they namely put there. Allah Mustafa.
the incident, there are many people who are, especially one of the da'i, which made a khutbah in Riyadh about his witnesses in Syria. And he mentions this is the Balad al-Shams, which Allah says in the Quran, and about the zaytun, about the thun, and about the olive trees, and about some of the Anbiya, Ibn Taymiyyah, and all these people came. Why isn't Muslims doing anything about it? Why are they keeping quiet? What do you say about this? That this is our sacred, this is a holy land, Shams.
First of all, who said that it is sacred? And the second thing, who said that the Muslim rulers are keeping quiet? Doesn't he see what Erdogan doing in Turkey? Doesn't he see what the Arab League doing? Doesn't he see what people doing? What does he want? He want just yani fighting? I think this Sheikh is a politician more than him a religious. He's only talking about politics, and they want the easiest way, which is the member. To come to a member of a masjid, you don't need to be hired. You don't need to be, you know, you don't need to go in a hizb or something like that and grow up. That's wrong. And talking on a member, talking to whom? Is he talking to the rulers? Can the rulers hear him? They videotape it and put it on YouTube. And say that this is a message. Ya akhi, this is not the way. This is not the way. The Prophet ﷺ told us that whoever has an advice for a ruler should write to him, should go to him, speak to him personally. Should not bring it openly. That's wrong. That's wrong. Advise the people, what can they do? Today we spoke about something related to the king. But I only addressed it to talk to you guys. To be careful of your children. Not to go and fight against this man or go on a revolution out in the streets in Jeddah or Riyadh. But I said clearly what I want from presenting this type of violation. To be careful, you as a father, about your children. Don't let your child be like him. Don't sit one day crying like that man crying on the YouTube for his son become a denier of Allah. But to come on the member and talk to the people about the rulers, I think this is only the what they call it, yani, the political Islam. As they call it, Islam has nothing to do with that. No. Yeah.
The two related questions. It's in the books of the Salaf. It says, whoever stands on the member and causes names against the rulers, it is stated that know that he's an innovator, number one. Number two, how can we know who should we listen to in our manhaj? Do we listen to anyone on YouTube, or do we should say to ourselves, like a question, is it Salafi? Let's listen. If it's not Salafi, let's not listen. Even if we think it is important or something new. How do we judge or tell ourselves who to listen to?
First of all, let me just correct something. It is not who to listen to, is it Salafi or not Salafi? No. Because so many people today claim that they are Salafis. We have Salafi jihadis, we have Salafi Salafi politicians as in Egypt now. We have many different Salafis today. Are they real Salafi? And what is the meaning of Salafi? Salafi means the ones who follow the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba. Okay. Is it from the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to address publicly the like these affairs? That's not the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second thing, and that's very important for me, you and everyone, is to what should I listen? I should listen to what benefit me myself. and perfect me in my religion. That's what I should listen to. Oh, someone is speaking about politics. Why should I waste my time listening to that? Yani, is this khatib going to tell me something different from what I see on the TV channels and the news? He is watching it and coming up here and talking. So why should I listen to him? If he says, no, I have my sources there, I say, akhi, if you have your sources there, then advise them to encourage people to go and pray instead of spending days. Akhi, in Yemen, during the time of revelation against Saleh, people pray the Jum'ah in the street. They don't want to go to the masjid. In Egypt, in Cairo, in the Tahrir Square, they said, no, we'll not go to the masjid, we'll not leave the square. We'll pray in the square. Subhanallah. Is this Islam? Is this a religion? Subhanallah. My advice is, listen and read what benefits you in your religion. Because the three questions in the grave going to be forward to everyone is not, what did you do to Syria? But it is, who's your Lord? Who's your Prophet? And what is your religion? If you don't know the religion, if you don't have the knowledge of religion, how are you going to answer what is your religion? It's not only one word, oh, Islam. No. Then anybody can say. But it is what you work upon. Wallahu a'lam. Now,
what's the correct way to deal with the ruler if the ruler is happens to be non-Muslim, or he says he's Muslim but then because of his creed he becomes non-Muslim? How do we deal with it when he's killing the Sunnis in our country or some country that we hear of? What shall we do?
We shall go back to the scholars and see what they say, what advice they make to the people. And I don't want to defend no one, but honestly, let's assume Assad was killing 1,000 people before the revolution. After the revolution, how many people? Thousands and thousands. So why these are being killed? Because they go out. No, believe me, everyone. In America, it happened recently. In Russia, it happened in the cinema, in the theater. It happens everywhere. No ruler will let you go out and do whatever you want. It's not like that. It's not like that. So we say to the people, the Prophet ﷺ gave us the guidance. But the problem is they don't want what Rasulullah ﷺ said. That's the problem. They don't find it enough. They come and tell you what Chafez did. What Fidel Castro did. But they bring you these examples. You say Muhammad ﷺ said, they tell you what those did. So the thing is, Rasulullah ﷺ told us, if he is kafir, now, are people fighting against the rulers because they are kuffar? No, that's all. I don't know where this question came from. Is it from a Muslim country? From Muslim country? The question. The person who's asking. Living in a Muslim country? A non-Muslim country. And he is asking about, mashallah. First of all, where is the understanding? Where is the fiqh? Why you are living there, giving your loyalty to the non-Muslims? That's a problem. We are ignoring for our own desire. You tell him, Rasulullah ﷺ said, whoever lives amongst the kuffar, I'm free from him. It starts gives you many excuses. You know what? The house in London is beautiful. There is a lot of chocolate, not like in Bangladesh. This nonsense, wallahi, this nonsense. It's not because, yani, oh, Islam there. He's lying if he says that Islam there is greater than any corrupted Muslim country. Show me a scholar came out of non-Muslim country. But I can show you from Syria. Now, under the Assad, you have Nasruddin Albani, you have many. And Yemen and everywhere. Because it is a Muslim community, Muslim land. But the problem is, we just want something to, what I call it? What should I call it? They just want to speak up. That's it. Otherwise, what I think the solution is first of all, we review our cases. Every individual, every one of us. How is he with Allah? And the second, what is the best method to correct the situation? It is to make dua. Stand on the last third part of the night and make dua. But they find dua is nothing. They say, okay, dua, dua, dua. We want practical thing. What can be more practical than dua? Allah. No. No.
Final question. In the time of Imam Ahmed, when he was captured by Mu'tasim, I can't remember his name.
No.
And when the people were looking, and they said, yeah, Imam Ahmed, Abu Abdullah, say the Quran is created. And he looked at the audience, and he said, how can I, and they were hitting him, they were going to hit him. How can I, when these people are going to be deviated? Is this the example of the manhaj of the Salaf in accordance to the situation that we're going through now with the different countries and the problems that we have? Should we adhere to these examples of the Salaf?
Wallahi, shuf. Here is a book that we teach every Thursday Asr here called Sharh Usul I'tiqad al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah for Imam al-Lalaka'i. Presents the aqeel of all the scholars. From them, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, who was taught severely. But when he was, and even Ibn Taymiyyah, and when he was told to make dua against the ruler, he said, no. If I know a dua to be accepted for me, I would make it for him, not against him. That's what we say. We say, Akhwan, do like the scholars did. Be patient, and instead of going to the squares, go to the masajid. Instead of going to strikes in the streets, go to the people of knowledge, and they'll tell you what to do. When I say people of knowledge, I mean people of knowledge. Those who you don't like because they don't speak on the media. Not those who just climb members shout and cry, like in the matter of Libya. Some of them, few months before the revolution in Libya, they were in Libya, praising Gaddafi. For him assigning his daughter to be the head of the Quran schools. And mashallah, he's giving care of... Just after the revolution, same man climbed the member of khutbah against the kafir Gaddafi. What Gaddafi did? He brought the two lectures on his TV. Look to the munafiq. Few months before, few months after. Before he was given money, he spoke. Now, the wave is against Gaddafi. Let's talk against Gaddafi. That's not the way. It's not the way. Go behind the ulama, go after the ulama who are always firm and stable. They don't change with the weather. But they are always firm. Now, Allah Alam.
Asking about the ulama in Saudi Arabia, they seem to be quite old. Are they aware of the current affairs?
They are aware of the current affairs more than anyone else. And they are not quiet, not like anyone else. But they are doing what they're supposed to do on the right way, as Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu did when the Khawarij surrounded the house of Uthman, and some of them came to Usama and they said to him, why don't you give advice to this ruler? He said, wondering for you people, would it be like if I advise him, I come to you and say I advise them of so and so, then it is not advice.